This is episode 12 with G.
I specialize in a very specific type of security. Subconscious security.
You're talking about dreams.
We create the world of the dream. We bring the subject into that dream. And they fill it with their secrets. It's called Inception.
Hello everyone and welcome to Cerebral Mind Control. My name is Hadlin. I am a hypnotist, magician, mentalist, and speaker. Every week, I will bring to you a driven, focused artist or entrepreneur and pick their brains on how they have learned to control their minds for success. Thank you so much for tuning in. Here we go. Welcome back to the Cerebral Mind Control Podcast. G. Seropia joins us on this episode to speak about his new album, Moksha. We also talk about how everything has a purpose, from emotion to feel to story, bringing attention to every detail that you do, and knowing when to take a rest and how to show your vulnerability. We talk about where his branding came from and how he has cultivated that into a very, very strong brand. If you check out any of his work, you will see and know exactly when it is G's music. This episode is brought to you by Hadlin Entertainment, Canada's one-stop shop for premium corporate quality entertainment services. Now, you guys are going to like this episode, so make sure you hit that like, that subscribe button, and share this episode. Throughout this entire podcast, this will be the first one where we have background music going through the entire episode. And the background music is made up entirely of G's music. I need to take some time here and thank all of the subscribers. We are now in 31 countries and closing in on 1,000 hours of listening time. I'm so amazed by this. Thank you, each and every one of you. This is awesome and it means a lot. So please help me grow this further. Give me some comments, some feedback, who you'd like to hear me interview next. And without further ado, I present to you G. Seropia.
All right. Hey, man. G is in the house today for the Cerebral Mind Control podcast. And you are the man behind all the music that you've so graciously allowed me to utilize mm-hmm. in the intro and a lot of the outros of the podcast episodes. Not only that, but you also made the Wicked Witchcraft remix for one of my videos that we partnered on that, and that was great, man. Mm. You do awesome work.
Thank you.
Did I miss anything? Like, what else do you do?
Well, aside from from the work that we've done, I know we did, there were a couple other videos that used some of my music in.
Right, yep.
That was before we actually started putting work in together, like collaborating on ideas.
Yep, exactly.
So yeah, we've been doing it for a while.
Okay. And yeah, you play music, you create music. Can you tell me about your newest project here that...
Well, the latest project that I came out with back in July is Moksha, which is an instrumental EP that I put together.
Okay. And what inspired you to make that?
That kind of started off with the fallout of my latest relationship, my last long-term relationship.
Okay.
So it was kind of my therapy for me to get over it all.
Okay.
And I kind of chronicled a story with this EP of me getting over it.
Okay. I'm going to re-listen to it with that new perspective, but I think I see what you're talking about. Mm. Do you get most of your inspiration from your own life?
Yeah, like even if it's just beats, like I usually put a lot of myself and a lot of my life into the work that I do.
Yep.
Like everything I do should have a purpose, and then I make sure that there is purpose to everything, from titling, from melody, from sampling, from the certain skits that I put into my work, from the certain samples that I use.
Right.
I try to make sure it either conveys an emotion, a feel, or it tells a story of mine.
Okay.
Without me having to write words to song.
Right, that must be pretty hard.
Mm.
How long did it take you to kind of hone that in?
I've been doing a lot more of that maybe in the past couple of years, 2-3 years or so.
Okay.
A lot of it before was just, you know, the early stages is just experimenting, you know, trying to find my sound, trying to find my style. And these days I kind of already fine-tuned that. So now it's about putting more of myself into my work as opposed to just making it work.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, no, it's the true aspect of being an artist is putting yourself in your work. Mm-hmm. So you're a living testament of that.
Yeah.
It's awesome, man. And you're currently doing a 30-day challenge for yourself. Mm-hmm. How's that been for you so far?
It's been good. So what my challenge is I call it one loop a day.
Yep.
Which is inspired by this article that I saw online about this guy who would he would make one 8-bar loop of a beat within the span of 20 minutes, and he could do that for a whole month. So I saw that as a good challenge for myself, just to kind of exercise myself creatively and trying to get my workflow a little better, a little more tight-knit.
Yep.
And it's been working good so far. Like, for the days that I do miss, you know, I'm not perfect. I will miss a couple days here and there. Yep. I'll make up for it in the days later on.
Right.
So, you know, this weekend I'm here in Saskatoon for 3 days, so I have to put the extra 2 beats a day for the next 3 days that I'm back home. So
right.
It's not too bad. Like, as long as I make sure I keep myself consistent and, you know, just kind of get myself into that routine. And it's been helping me a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, and you're constantly on a creative, mm-hmm. you're always looking for your next beat, I'm assuming.
Yeah, like, you know, hopefully for any of these beats that I work on in the next 30 days, you know, some of them do end up somewhere, whether it be on somebody else's project or it can be used for one of my own projects or
right.
just spark somebody's creativity in some way.
Exactly, inspire somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, really. Mm-hmm. You know, just inspiring as many people as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And you have quite the following. You're not even from Saskatoon. Mm-hmm. You're from Toronto.
Yeah.
Born and raised?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how old are you now?
25.
Mm-hmm. Oh, young guy.
Yeah.
Still coming up. Yeah.
Another century.
Yeah. You feel old, though. I just recently turned 28.
Mm.
And yeah, I know what you mean. I'm almost in my 30s. Like,
yeah.
What's going on, man?
Even for me, like, you know, 25 is halfway to 30.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's still a ways away, but I still feel like I'm on the cusp of, like, really, really getting old.
Yeah.
And I still feel like I'm not where I need to be in terms of my career, in terms of my life. Like, I still want to, you know, I still want to level up from here. I still want to be more than I am already.
Okay. So now let's take maybe a step back. You today, mm-hmm. what's the big difference between you 5 years ago?
5 years ago would be 2010. So, difference in terms of what?
Just mentality and, you know, your where you are in your career and.
5 years ago, I feel like since then I've become a lot more particular.
Okay.
Like with just anything and everything, whether it be musically, design, just what I dress like, how things look, how things are, how things feel.
Yep.
Like I have a certain preference for everything that I do.
Okay.
And you know, anything that I find wrong or flawed or just not right with me, you know, I'll call it out. Like, for example, like if I remember there's one time I was watching a movie and one of the like the distributors, one of their logos came up and like, you know, kind of took me out of the element of the movie. Not saying anything was bad, it's just the way that I think these days. Like I'll take a look at something, like say a logo,
mm-hmm.
or a font, and I'll find all these things that I would change in it and be like, you know, this should be closer here, this should be a little longer there, this should be this color for this thing.
Right.
Yeah, just it's different. My mind is refining more. Yeah, everything is more refined for me. As back then, you know, everything was just more free and just more, I didn't really have as big of an opinion as I do with everything else now.
Yeah, okay. So now, with that perspective, and you've definitely changed a lot for the better.
Mm-hmm.
We can definitely see that. And now 5 years from now, mm-hmm. to you today, what do you see is gonna be the big difference? You're gonna be 30 in five years.
Jeez.
Like, where do you see yourself?
Hopefully my career is levels beyond what it is now. Like, I'm, you know, I'm still working independently with artists in my city. So, you know, hopefully I do have some foot in to the industry.
Right.
And just, you know, having a bigger name and a bigger following than what I have now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my, and I just hope that everything that I do now is just 10 times more and 10 times better than what it is by the time I do hit 30.
Nice. Well, that's good. You're, mm-hmm. you're aiming high and yeah. you always are striving for more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really important trait to have, is to not be, you know, some people just get comfortable in their mm-hmm. current state, and then they don't get better, they don't grow,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you're challenged there. Mm-hmm. That's, I see big things coming from that challenge.
Yeah.
And I feel like 30 days, maybe that's not enough. Maybe mm-hmm. you need more, but.
Yeah, but I'd like to limit it to 30 days,
yeah.
because you know, there are other things that I still need to do aside from just this challenge, or aside
yeah.
from working on my own stuff, so.
Right.
But I'm using this 30-day challenge just as, you know, exercise.
Yeah, nice.
Something to, you know, just to make my craft more tight-knit.
Yeah. So what are some of the challenges that you've experienced on this challenge? Like, challenges in that, difficulties?
Just getting started.
Yeah.
Yeah, just trying to, it's only half an hour, so I know that the moment I start, half an hour later, I'll be over with it. But it's
yeah.
just either finding the time or just finding, not even so much finding the drive, but just wanting to get up and actually.
And do it.
Yeah, not that it's, you know, not that it's that I don't want to do it. It's just, you know, just trying to get into the right mind state to get it popping and
yeah.
and just go with it.
So what is the mindset that you're looking for?
I just want to be in a good space, or like just, you know, just to be in music mode.
Yeah.
Because I can't always turn it on. You know, there's times where I won't be feeling it. I won't be in the mood to work on music, or I'm just like, you know, there's nothing creatively going on. But with this challenge, you know, it kind of does have to force me, or just give me that little nudge for me to get things moving.
Right. So is there anything that you've developed yourself that has helped you to, you know, if you're not feeling creative, to, you know, get your mind past that?
Not really. Like, I've learned to accept that, you know, sometimes you're not always gonna be wanting to work on your craft. Like, you know, you do need your breaks, you do need your rest, you do need, you know, it's all part of your cycle. Like, you can't always be on.
Yeah.
So anytime, for me, when I do have those creative blocks, like I've learned recently, that, you know, that's just all part of your resetting cycle.
Right.
You know, you will get back into it. It's not gonna be out forever.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, I learned to go with it, you know, let it do its thing.
Yeah.
And once I get back into creative mode, that's, you know, that's just when the cycle starts over again.
Okay.
It's not too bad.
Nice. That's pretty good. Yeah, because I personally deal with some creative blocks quite often, trying to create new tricks and refine my performances. Sometimes I won't really see exactly what I should do differently
mm-hmm.
right away. And, yeah, so everything just happened. As long as you have that mindset, because
mm-hmm.
obviously you're pretty confident in your work, that it's just gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Where do you think you got that from?
Got what?
Your mindset that things work out, they come full circle.
Well, I've always felt like you can't really force things to happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes things do just happen on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everything for me, whether it be musically, relationships, life in general, everything has worked in loops for me where, you know, things do come around, things do get better, things do restart. So, you know, I've read up on having those creative blocks.
Yeah.
And, you know, people have said, you know, it's all part of the process. It's not a bad thing.
It happens to everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Everybody goes through it, so it's, you know, it comes in and goes.
It's definitely good to hear
mm-hmm.
that it happens to everybody, because,
yeah.
you know, if it's the first time it happens to you, you can feel really overwhelmed and
mm-hmm.
discouraged.
Yeah.
And so if we can go back maybe a little bit further, like, how many albums do you have?
I'm at six instrumental albums deep.
Nice. Very good. That's amazing, man. I don't think many people even come up with one, mm-hmm. and you have six. That's awesome. What's your favorite one?
My favorite, it will probably have to be my latest one, Moksha.
Yeah. Yeah. And Moksha?
Yes.
What does that mean exactly?
It means ending the cycle of death and rebirth.
Oh, okay. Oh, and mm-hmm. another cycle, death, yeah. rebirth. Man, you're all mm-hmm. about the cycles. And it's cool you say that, because a lot of the other successful people I've spoken with, alongside you, they, you know, everything comes in cycles, and mm-hmm. seems to be a trend,
yeah.
among people. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting too, because you know you're making loops. Mm-hmm. It's a cycle.
Yeah,
I see a lot of that in you mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah, I've come to learn that. Cool. Yeah, I've come to learn that over the past years, that you know everything repeats or everything comes full circle. And that's how it's always been for me. So it's funny how you know. That mind state kind of defined itself more in the recent years for me, because I would always see it come and go. I would always see it happen every now and then.
Yep.
And then, you know, then nowadays it kind of has there's a name for it. You know, there's like, this is moksha is part of Hindu philosophy. Mm. So it's studied, it's believed, it's, you know, it's a thing.
Right. Very cool, man. Mm-hmm. So can you walk me through some of the thought processes that you go through on just, you know, starting one of your albums?
What do you
think about to even like inspire you for that album? Like, just think about what you're going through at that moment, or do you think mm-hmm. about your past, your future?
Yeah, well, for a couple of my previous albums, like one of my first ones when I did get yeah. started, was just noticing a lot of good music that I was pumping out that kind of had a similar vibe or a similar sound,
okay.
that I wanted to share with people.
Right.
And, you know, and kind of put it into an album form. With the recent album, or with, you know, with songs of my recent albums, everything, or a lot of them were made based on emotion or feeling. And that's kind of where this album sparked. I started working on it after a breakup that yeah. I had, and I kind of felt like I had songs. I had a couple songs that I would make that would kind of accidentally be related to what I was going through. Either that, or I would start making songs to kind of use as an outlet, to use as therapy for myself,
right.
just to kind of get over it.
Okay.
And a lot of my best songs, I've noticed, are the ones that come from the deepest emotions that I've had.
Very cool. Mm. Man, that's awesome. So you're a very emotional person.
Mm.
Yeah. And let's see, do you know what motivates you
for
just on a daily basis to pump out music? Like, what's behind it all? What gets you up out of bed in the morning?
Sometimes just like a lot of my songs are sampled.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, something that'll get me working is a dope sample that I hear, or just an idea that I have in my head, or just the feeling that I wanna take and harness into sound. Like the last song that I had on my album, there's a melody that I had. That I made after a big falling out that I had in regards to that relationship. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had that feeling, and I put it into piano form, just so, you know, it's kind of like capturing that feeling instead of into a picture, into a melody.
Right.
And I ended up taking that melody, building around it, and making a full song into it.
Very cool. Man, you're amazing, like, when you create mm-hmm. and the work you do.
Thanks.
It's awesome. Like, if you guys, any of you that are listening, you guys, you know his music. You've been hearing a lot of his music at the end of the podcast. There's always, I put the entire song. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, and you have a new album coming out probably pretty soon, hey?
Nothing solo so far. I did just finish working on an album with one of the artists that I've been working with, one of my good friends, Raphael.
Okay.
We
from Toronto?
Yes.
Yep.
we finished working on his album called Dead Broke Millionaire.
Okay. Actually, yeah, I remember seeing that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did a lot of production, co-production, mixing, sequencing. I sang on the intro, I sang backup for another song.
You sang?
Yeah.
Oh man, you sing too.
Mm-hmm. And I was featured on the last song as well with our other friend Recast.
Okay. Yeah, multi-talented.
Yeah.
What other talents do you have?
A good handful.
Yeah. What's the next top one there?
Okay, well, in terms of the things that I do now or the things that I have shown to the world, I produce.
Yeah.
I started rapping around the same time that I produced. I sing now, I guess. I do a lot of things out of necessity. Like anything that I feel that I can bring to the table that will work, I'll do it. Like before this, I wasn't singing. I don't really sing in public. I don't really show that side of me. But you know, I felt like this could have been used for this album, so I used it and it worked.
Nice.
And it fit perfectly.
That's awesome.
Mm.
It's like a secret weapon.
Yeah. I also, all of my album artwork I design.
Mm-hmm.
Graphic design. Any videos I've done in the past, I've edited, conceptualized, directed.
Yep.
The logo for my music collective, I started up. I designed the logo.
Nice, man.
I try to do as much of what I can on my own.
Before you outsource it.
Yeah, before places where I do know that I need help, you know, I'm not going to be egotistical.
Right.
And say I can do it all by myself. I'll outsource what I need to outsource. Like on the album cover on the Moksha album cover, the logo, my friend Ron from Saskatoon, he helped me design it. Yep. So shout out to Ron.
Yeah, he just dropped you off.
Yeah, he dropped me off. Yep. He helped me with the logo. He's a big help. He's a good friend.
That's awesome, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see a lot of similarities because even in my business too, mm-hmm. I do, like for this, I do all the production for the audio and...
Yeah, you were telling me.
You know, the videos and graphic design for some of my logo as well.
Yeah, your artwork and all that for the podcast.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, eh? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't realize it until you start going in that area. But to learn everything about your craft and in order to get it in front of people.
Yeah.
And if you don't, like, personally, I don't have the funds to be able to go out and hire a huge team yet, right? I would love to. That would save me so much time, but...
No, personally, I don't mind doing all the work. Like, I like taking charge and I like having input and having say in everything that goes on, especially if it has my name on it.
Yeah,
I'll make sure it has. You know, I'll make sure I'll put my hands in everything that's involved.
Right.
As much as I can.
Right. Mm. Yeah, that's good because you have a good creative eye for things, and the video that we put together, the day in the life of a magician, which you guys gotta check it out. That video, the music that you made for it, made the whole video.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely. I feel it captures people and sucks them right in.
Yeah.
And, I did my best to edit it with the music.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, I'm actually going to go back to it and keep adding more things to it. It did reach 250,000 people, though.
Wow.
Yeah. So
On what platforms?
On Facebook.
Facebook?
Holy. Facebook by itself, yeah.
Okay.
Which was pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. YouTube. I found that, actually, if you upload a video to YouTube and then post the link on Facebook, Facebook's like, hey, we don't like YouTube.
Yeah.
We're not going to show anybody. We'll show a couple people. But then if you use their service, they're like, hey, thanks for using our service.
Mm-hmm.
We'll show
X
number of people more.
Yeah, well, it's not a bad thing to have the same video or the same piece that you have on multiple platforms. You know, just because you do want it on one platform doesn't mean you have to keep it there.
Right.
You know, certain people don't use Facebook, certain people don't use YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. So if you do put everything everywhere, it's going to catch somebody's attention.
Right. So what other platforms do you use?
I'm on almost everything. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Tumblr.
Okay.
Everything is the same username, G Seropia.
Perfect.
And the link will be online, yeah. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. We'll put it in the show notes after this. You guys can check it out.
Yeah.
And, yeah. All right. But musically, is there anything else other than SoundCloud out there?
There's SoundCloud. SoundCloud is the biggest thing right now.
Yep.
It's the biggest, it's the most popular way to get your music heard or get your music out there. And everybody uses it as a form of sharing their own sounds. I've seen a lot of people blow up just because their thing is on SoundCloud.
Oh, yeah.
The one I used to use before, which I still do use, is Bandcamp.
Bandcamp, right. Okay.
Yeah, you can upload your albums there. It's kind of like a customizable iTunes where you can kind of design the layout of Bandcamp to fit the colors of, let's say, your album cover, and you can sell things on there. You can sell your merch, you can sell your albums.
Okay.
So it's not a bad platform, but right now the thing that's really catching people's attention is SoundCloud. So, you know, I wasn't using SoundCloud before, but I noticed how much of a, like, how many eyes and how many ears are on SoundCloud. So, you know, you have to adapt with the times and with the technology. Right.
And this podcast is actually hosted through SoundCloud.
Yeah, exactly. That too.
Yeah. And it works pretty good for that. Like, they just recently added the podcasting options. So, yeah, I'm pretty glad because I didn't know where else to go, to be honest, for a podcast. I thought I was going to have to host it on my own website and then send out the feeds to iTunes and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, you are going to have this on video, too. So there's, you know, off the bat, there's SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube. So that's three platforms where somebody's going to hear it somewhere.
Yeah, it's also on TuneIn and Stitcher Radio. But yeah, let's talk about some of the different mindsets that help you to get to this point here. I want to find out if you could share it with us. You know, what are the three main beliefs that you have that kind of guide you on your path?
Three main beliefs.
Yeah. You know, just recently, actually the podcast that I released for last week, because this will be released on the week of the, what day would that be? Today's the 13th. Yeah, this is being recorded on the 13th, but it'll be released on the 19th. So last week's episode, for people that are listening now, and Tristan, he was talking about one of his beliefs is just being completely honest in absolutely every business interaction.
Yeah.
And it helps you tenfold. But yeah, do you have anything similar that you stick by?
For me, I feel like sticking to my sound and being completely vulnerable is what produces my best work.
Okay.
You know, in the music world right now, trap is kind of taking over the mainstream sound, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, personally, I'm not a big fan of trap. You know, I can listen to some trap, but, you know, I've noticed for whether it's beat competitions or just people starting up making beats or just listening to music in general, everything is trap. And for me, when I started, it was a lot of soul samples that I was working with. So, you know, I can go the easy route, make a bunch of trap beats, go enter competitions with all those and blow up, but that's not really my lane.
Right, you want to stay true to you.
Yeah, like, you know, a lot of shit that I make is either like chill hip hop, chill R&B, house, like boom bap shit, things like that. Trap rarely, every now and then, but you know, I make what I feel sounds good, and I like to put as much of my feeling, my emotion, my experience into what I do.
Okay.
And I don't let the mainstream sound define what I sound like.
That's good.
Because I like to sound like what I sound like, and even with my albums, I don't even like to sound like what my last album sounded like. If you were to go through my albums, everything has a distinct sound or theme or just a feel to it. So I like to, you know, I like to keep everything ever changing, but all me, 100%.
Right. Yeah, staying true to you is very important. And I'm glad there's a lot of people. There should be more people mm-hmm. that are like that. Because there was a time when, like personally, where I didn't do magic that was me. Mm-hmm. I did magic that, you know, was similar to what someone else was doing. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really a story that I was telling about myself, mm-hmm. you know, to express myself. But, you know, through the ages, through the years, I've refined things and beginning to do a lot more magic that, you know, portrays the real me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that is really important. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Have you always been like that?
I feel like I have. Like, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of easy ways to get to where you want to be. Yep. But there's only one way for you to get to where you want to be, where you'll feel 100% comfortable with yourself.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't want to conform and just sound like everybody else. I don't want to do what everybody else is doing. You know, I can't copy the ways that my favorite artists got to where they were, because everybody does have their own lane, everybody does make it, and everybody will have a fan base for the certain sound that you have. Like, there's different kinds of music everywhere.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people are popular and not mainstream. So it is possible. It's
yes.
just a matter of getting your sound out and just to keep pumping music until somebody catches, you know, until somebody listens, until somebody hears and somebody understands what's going on, and there's something, you know, there's something special about what you do.
So do you have any, well, you probably do, what are your, or who are your inspirations, sorry, in the music industry?
In terms of production, Kanye is a big influence.
Okay.
Just because he's been doing his own thing and doing it the way he wants to do it.
Right.
Dr. Dre is a big influence because for him, quality and perfection is everything. You know, you listen to any of his albums, everything is put together so precisely. And that's the way that I like to do things, you know. I like to, you know, working on my albums, I mix everything myself, I master everything myself. So, you know, I would spend countless hours going back to the same song, fine-tuning what needs to be fine-tuned, listen to it in the headphones, in my monitors, bump it in the car, see what sounds right, see what I need to change, go back, change it, do the same thing over again, until everything sounds exactly where I want it to be.
Okay.
So, you know, he taught me precision and perfection.
Right.
Yeah, those two are like one of the biggest influences for those reasons.
Right.
And that's like their madness and the way that they do their craft is kind of the way I would like to do my thing. But still, you know, I like to do the way that they do it, but just not in the lane and not in the same sound that they do their thing.
Right.
I like, you know, I'll learn
values.
From them. Yeah, I'll learn from them, but I won't mimic them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Totally. That's awesome, dude. Do you have any inspirations that come from, like, other industries? Like, maybe not just the music industry, but... Or, I guess, mentors or idols?
Mentors or idols... Well, I do have, I really noticed a lot of being particular. I saw in two of my friends that I was in a Filipino folk dance group with.
Okay.
We were part of this group called FFC, Folklorical Filipino Canada.
Right.
It was their brothers, Lee and Pierce.
Okay.
They're very artsy, they're very design-based, they're very particular. Lee is our, he's our coordinator, he kind of runs everything, he choreographs everything. Pierce is his younger brother, he's a dancer. But they're both artists, they're both visual artists.
Okay.
And I've noticed, you know, before I was the way that I was, I noticed that they were that same way too. They're very particular about everything. You know, whether it's this font being this way, or this dance move being this way, this pose for this dance being this way, this part of the music being this way. I kind of saw that in them, and now it's kind of brushed off onto me.
Okay. And that's actually the reason why we even know each other,
mm-hmm.
is because of your involvement in there. And then you came to Saskatoon, where mm-hmm. I happened to be doing, or I was involved with the Filipino community folk fest, dancing and whatnot.
you performed. I remember you performed really quick 1 year for folk fest.
I only did 1 year.
And then I performed. We were here every year. Well, personally, I've been here every year from 2007 to 2011.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know it was that many years.
Wow. Yeah. So that's I was here a lot. Like, you know, FFC, KFE, the other group that's here, the other dance group that's here, like they had a big hand in shaping to what my life, not even just my career, what my life has been, or where my life is at now.
Right.
And from all the people I met, from all the relationships I've been through, from all the friends that I've connected with out here and through both groups.
That's cool. Yeah, I like how things just work out that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just as you live through life, the connections you make, you don't know what they're going to foster into mm-hmm. until later. But yeah, man, I'm really glad that I met you, because I can't make music. Like, I mean, I tell people that there is no can't, right?
Mm-hmm.
So technically I can make music. Mm. It would just take me years and years and years and years, even just to scrape the surface of what you do.
Uh-huh.
To even get close to you 10 years ago would take me so many years. So, you know, it's not my thing. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just one of those things that, you know, you can outsource too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that's why I come in. And it worked out perfectly.
Definitely,
Because, through me, you know, I am providing you with music, and through you, I'm kind of dipping into your fan base.
Yep.
Even though it's not music related, my music is still linked with your work, and I'm proud to have it linked with your work, because your work is dope.
Thanks, man.
Like, with the POV magic and all that, you don't see people doing shit like that.
No, I'm starting to see a few more people do it, though. Mm. It's just funny.
Well, you're at least will be, you know, a pioneer, or at least one of the first to do it.
Right.
So, and you got video proof, so numbers don't lie.
Video proof with mm-hmm. the timestamp, that's true.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm going to we talked about that, I'm going to redo that video
mm-hmm.
for a second release of the same video, but then I'm also going to do part two.
Yeah, I was about to say, you should just do like a part two of it, and we'll work on your song, your video.
Yeah.
Get some new shit popping.
Yeah, I'm excited. That'll be a good one. I'm going to wait for this Christmas rush to go uh-huh. through, because it's just so much stuff going on, man.
Everything's gonna get filtered out.
Yeah.
With everything Christmas related.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
How's your season for Christmas? Is it busy?
In terms of Christmas, in terms of the Christmas season, or just like just in terms of things going on around the season?
Yeah. Well, everything.
I got some things going on. I'm finishing up. I'm helping finish up. My homie Recast's album.
Yep.
He's a rapper from Toronto.
Yes.
He's part of my collective White Lotus. He's working on an album, and he kind of got me in last minute to provide some beats for him, provide some background vocals, help him mix, master, fine tune his album, just so that it's, you know, just so it's exactly where he wants it to be, because he's noticed the things that I do. He's noticed the way that I work, and kind of likes that. He sees it, and he wants to add that element into his craft.
Right.
Into his work. So I'm working on that. I just found out recently about a beat competition that's going on in Toronto.
Okay.
Battle of the Beat Makers.
Nice. That's perfect for you.
Yeah. Big names like Wonder Girl came out of there. She won a competition a couple years back. We're actually part of the same program called the Remix Project in Toronto. Okay. So they're they're like they're a program to help provide a place for you to work on your craft and learn about your craft and fine tune your craft.
Right. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So, you know, she came out of there, so I'm gonna try and be part of that competition.
Sweet.
And win it, just to get my name out on that platform. So I have those two things that I'm working on, and also, you know, working on everything for next year as well.
Right.
To see what comes up for next year.
How do you prioritize what you're going to do next? You have a lot of things going on at once, you know?
Yeah.
Like how do you know, okay, this takes priority, like, how do you figure that out?
Every day there's always something to work on.
Yeah.
Musically. it depends on inspiration and time.
Inspiration, right.
So if I'm inspired.
Yeah, you can't force it.
Yeah, like I never try to force creativity. I kind of just let creativity flow through me.
Right.
And just, you know, do what I feel when I feel it. So, you know, when I feel like working on something a certain day, I'll work on it. Even if it isn't top priority, I'll kind of put my time into that. But when it comes to time, you know, things do have deadlines. So I make sure to finish those deadlines, but at the same time, I could still work on some things that I do feel like working on before that, because I can't force things that have deadlines if I'm not feeling it.
Right.
But at the end of the day...
You like to produce the best product possible.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I'll make sure that everything gets done on time.
Yep. Nice. Very cool. I wanted to ask you, what is the symbolism behind the avatar symbol?
For me, for those who don't know, Avatar is a show, Avatar The Last Airbender. And he's the main character. Aang is the inspiration for myself, and he's the reason I adopt his character as my brand, which is why I wear the arrows.
Yeah.
In the show, he's the master of all four elements. You know, he can bend earth, air, water, fire. And I feel like that's kind of the way I do things too. You know, I have a bunch of talents that I have to share with the world.
Right.
And I try to master each one of those and just give as much as I can and show as much as I can and just slowly open these curtains for the things that I can do. And that aside, like, he's a chill guy. He's a funny, quirky guy. But at the same time, you know, when shit hits the fan, he'll get things done.
Nice.
So that's why, you know, I've been watching the show since I was 15. So
10 years now.
Yeah, 10 years later, he's kind of like, you know, he is I and I am him. Like, we're one and the same.
Nice.
And you know, a lot of people, not even just back home, like even a lot of people here, like everybody associates me with Avatar.
Yeah.
They know it, like, they know that's me.
It's good branding. Good branding.
That's why, like, every time I'm out, I'm always wearing a hat. I have, I hand paint all my hats.
Oh, you do? Okay, yeah. I was just going to ask you this.
Yeah, I hand paint all of them. I have 8 or so that I painted.
Okay.
So, you know, I try to accommodate all my outfits.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and definitely. It keeps the brand going.
You know,
it's
your character, right?
Yeah.
Your brand, and you got to portray that. It's really important. I like that you... You're always conscious about that.
Yeah, I try to be...
Something I've struggled with, for sure.
Yeah, I try to be purposeful with everything I do.
Yeah.
Make sure, you know, everything...
And it shows, it's making a lot... Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that in this way, but yeah.
Well, you know, this kind of developed on its own. Like, first it was like, oh, it would be cool to have his arrow on a hat.
Yeah.
And then it kind of developed into my brand, and it kind of stuck with me. And, like, I would start noticing certain things, certain aspects of the show that I can relate to my life, to my music, that I would kind of connect. Even with my music collective, White Lotus, the name derives from, like, a secret society that they had in the show.
Okay.
And they were all, because in the show, you know, a lot of the benders who would bend their own elements, they kind of stuck to themselves. Earthbenders were earthbenders, firebenders were firebenders, everybody was segregated. But with White Lotus, you know, there was a secret society that looked beyond that. You know, it was a group of people who mastered their craft, but were of different bending styles. But, you know, they didn't really see, you know, they saw past all that and just looked towards unity.
Right. Yeah, they looked past the segregation and came together.
Yeah, and that's why I started White Lotus. Like, my vision for White Lotus is, you know, myself and the five guys, or myself and the four guys who started it, we're just a bunch of musicians right now. But, you know, in the future, this goes into your question from earlier, 5 years, 10 years from now, in the future, you know, I want to see it as more of just a music collective. I want to see it as an artistic collective, a creative collective. You know, I want there to be photographers, videographers, painters. Right. I want us to have like a school, a film, you know, a film company, it's everything.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Record label, all that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. That's a really good vision. Mm-hmm. That's definitely important to have. I like mm-hmm. that a lot. And I really like how you have, you know, created such a strong brand and incorporated mm-hmm. that, because, you know, that's, I was saying earlier how I've struggled with that personally, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. just growing my hair out right now is mm-hmm. like step one of creating a specific brand, I guess, because yeah. I've never seen, well, no, I guess I've seen a couple, but magicians or hypnotists that have long hair. It's mm-hmm. usually short business cut or bald, uh-huh. right? So I figured I'll go to the opposite extreme, and that way it'll set me apart from the majority of them, mm-hmm. just visibly, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah, just your profile, your silhouette.
Right, exactly, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, that alone is a brand in itself. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to put hours of artistic and creative input. It could just be as simple as what you said, growing your hair. Like, look at The Weeknd.
Right.
The Weeknd, like, you can spot his hairstyle from a mile away. You know that's him. People with certain profiles and silhouettes like that, you know, that is a brand on its own. So yeah, that's, you know, there's a start. Yeah. And it could be a finish too. It doesn't need to be more than that.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how it goes, and yeah I'm excited for it. Mm-hmm. I think it's already working mm-hmm. right now, even though it's only been a year so far. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so your avatar symbol there, mm-hmm. I may have missed it, but did you say how long ago you started doing that?
I started, the first hat that I painted was 2008, maybe. And that was just because I thought it'd be a cool idea to have, you know, his hat or his arrow design, because he has a tattoo of an arrow on his head.
On his head, yeah.
So I wanted to bring that element into clothing form.
Man, wouldn't it be cool? I can totally see this in the future. If you were making music for an avatar,
for them,
yeah, for them, for like their new release or something, or
yeah, that'd be a good end goal.
Yeah, they have another series out, I think, right?
Legend of Korra.
Yeah, are you watching that?
Of course I watch it.
Yeah, of course.
They finished it, 4 seasons worth of it. Yeah, I've kept up with it all.
Okay. I normally ask people on this podcast if they could leave behind a piece of media, like a TV show, movie, mm-hmm. song, or book, mm-hmm. that when someone watches it, listens to it, it screams that person. So uh-huh. in your case, it screams G. Uh-huh. But we've already touched on that. It's obviously Avatar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say Spice Girls, but, you know.
Okay.
Avatar comes second. Yeah. Avatar is, for anybody who knows me, that's, you know, since high school, it's been like that. You hear Avatar, you'll think of me. It's, you know, I've kind of made myself synonymous with that. And, you know, I'm glad it was that show. Like, I didn't really choose it. You know, it kind of just worked out the way that it was, because, like, it is a children's television show. It is a cartoon for kids.
There's so much meaning and message behind that the kids don't get.
Yeah, like, you know, you can watch it for face value, for anything, not even just a show. You can see things for face value. But if you know, for the people who do put their heart, their emotion, their life into their work, you know, you can see a deeper meaning of things. Like, Avatar deals with a lot of, you know, you can look at it as just being a show about a kid who, you know, who's fighting a war, trying to stop a war. But, you know, it delves into things like religion, genocide, segregation, spirituality, science, everything. Like, it just, you know, there's pages and pages of deeper meaning to just that show alone. It all depends on how you look at it and how you think compared to what you see.
Right.
So there's, you know, it depends on your perspective.
So when you come across something new, or even maybe some of the your mentors, Dr. Dre was one of them, right? So when you listen to his music, do you start to think of the deeper meanings?
With him, well, when I brought him up, is more production-wise.
Right.
When I listen to him, you know, he's one of the few guys where if a new song or a new album comes out, I'll plug in my good speakers. I'll give time to sit in front of these speakers and just listen to everything.
Okay.
And just, you know, take it in, just take everything in detail by detail. You know, other regular songs or just other average songs, I can just bump while I'm driving the car, or just like bump while I'm on a computer or whatever. But certain people like him, Kanye, Kendrick, where I like to listen to the quality and just take in the technical aspect of things. Like with him, you know, I like hearing the layers of sound, what he does with this sound, what he, you know, the way he does his drums, the way he works his melodies.
Right.
Yeah, like the effects that he puts on for certain things.
You listen for different things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can see all the different, the amount of work that went into it that a lot of people can take for granted because they don't have your skill set.
Mm.
That's really cool. Yeah. It reminds me of when I watch like a magic performance.
Mm-hmm.
And I know magic, it's sleight of hand and whatnot, right? But when I watch a magic performance that doesn't fool me, I can still be amazed because of the technicality
behind it. You know the background.
Yeah,
you
I know what's
what
happening.
He's doing in the, behind closed doors or behind the curtain.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And I know the time and dedication it takes to be able to pull some of those effects off.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can relate in that way, but definitely. Mm. What do you feel is the purpose of life?
Purpose of life.
I know it's a deep question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I love questions like this. Like, it kind of gets you thinking on a grander scale.
Right.
Other than just day to day.
Exactly.
For me, purpose of life is just finding out why you're here and doing that to the fullest. Like, I see a lot of people just settling with decent jobs, settling with office jobs, but is that actually what you want to do? You know, and if it is what you want to do, then do it. You know, go for it. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, there, we do need, you know, everybody can't be gods here. You know, we do need the average Joes. You know, it's not a bad thing to be average Joe, but whatever you do, you know, do the best at it. Be the best at what you can be, whether it is an accountant or whether it is a butcher or whether it is a teacher or whether it's, you know, being a magician, an artist, a musician, a producer, you know, just whatever you do, do it and own it.
Nice. I like that definition. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna add that. I'm ask almost every single person that's come on the podcast so far that question, and I love the varying answers and how they all really, essentially, they all relate to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's really powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Another hard one. If you could only leave behind, for your future children, you need to leave behind something that is going to teach them in a very important lesson that they have to apply to their life. And let's limit it to a book or an album.
An album.
Or a movie even.
Book, album, or movie. Well, I'm not much of a reader, so I'm gonna go album or movie. Something that will teach them a major lesson in life, you said?
Yeah, something that it's taught you an important lesson that you want to make sure is instilled in them. And they have to do it. Like, there's no questions. They have to. They have to learn it, apply it, and be it.
I want to say, if I were to choose an album, I want to say best one I can think of right now off the top is Lauryn Hill's Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Okay.
The reason I say that is because, you know, I've been listening to this album for a long time since I was young, but it was just recently that I realized that there was a whole, you know, it's not just an album, there's a concept to it. And the concept of the whole album was that it's called The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill because it starts off in a classroom.
Okay.
And the teacher's calling out names, you know, seeing who's present, who's not. He calls out Lauryn Hill's name. Nobody answers. And what I realized, that's when I kind of started realizing what the album is about, because, you know, through every song, or through most songs, there's a skit in between where they're talking, you know, the whole day was them talking about love, aspects of love, lessons about love. But the whole thing is that she's not there to learn it in class. So she kind of learns it the hard way through her life experiences.
Okay.
And, you know, everything that she misses in class, she talks about in her songs afterwards. And for me, a lot of my life has been defined by love, whether it's, you know, whether it was a girlfriend or someone who was close to being a girlfriend or family or friends. And yeah, a lot of that album is kind of just lessons of love. And yeah, it's something that I feel like, if, you know, my life is heavily based on that.
Yeah.
Very cool. If, you know, if my kids are going to be anything like me, they're going to go through things like that.
Powerful.
So that album will probably help them a good amount, hopefully.
I'm definitely going to listen to it, and fortunately I haven't listened to that album. Mm-hmm. I probably have heard maybe one or two songs off of it in my time, but yeah, I'll definitely listen to it. I'll put a link so that people can check it out too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sounds really good, definitely. What is one small thing that you've done that has helped shape who you are today? I know it's...
Yeah, these are like very thought-provoking.
It's a hard one, man. I know it. You know, some people have said. Actually, no, I don't remember every single time, every single one people have said. But for example, there we go. Mark Morris recently said that he holds doors open for people. Mm-hmm. You know, just something small and just helps to progress the world forward and. Mm-hmm. Share the positivity with people, you know, something like that. Maybe you helped a old lady cross the street or something, you know.
Well, I don't know if this is considered small scale, but just trying not to repeat mistakes.
Okay.
You know, learning.
So learning.
Yeah, just mistakes, learning. So. Yeah, learning from what you've done, right or wrong.
Yep.
Or mostly wrong, and just try not to repeat that. Try not to get stuck in that loop of things, because, you know, the more you do it, the more you're just going to keep doing it until you break out of it. And once you break out of it, everything's going to change.
Okay. I like it. And you said another thing in there that's really, really interesting to me. You said loop again. Mm-hmm. You know, you get stuck in that loop. And I feel like, maybe, you know, that's the way your mind works. You're working with beats, you're working with music, and even the arrow almost seems like it's the beginning of a forward loop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything about you is about balance, and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm just, I guess I'm thinking out loud in a sense, but yeah, I really like that about you, man. You're an awesome guy.
Thanks.
And I just want to take some time to acknowledge you, because first off, you came from Toronto to Saskatoon, right? Not just for this, you have lots of friends here. You know, this is a chance you get to see everybody.
Mm-hmm.
However, you also, you know, this podcast, it's great that you were able to, you know, come here and be on the podcast. It's definitely awesome. And just the amount of work that you put into everything that you do, the amount of detail that you put in and attention to detail, like that alone I'm going to take with me, because, you know, in the past sometimes I've put things out and it's like, it's good enough. I just want to get it out there. But no, you know, and maybe things aren't going to be always 100% perfect, because you're not perfect to begin with, right? But I really like how you said earlier that, you know, if you don't put out a beat for a couple days, you'll make up for it later.
Yeah.
So you'll still end up, right, with your 30 beats in 30 days. Instead of falling behind, you know you're going to catch up.
Yeah.
You stay a man of your word, which is awesome. That's a really strong trait to have, and I really like that about you. You amaze me in everything that you do musically, and actually most of what you do is musically. And yeah, man, it's awesome. Of course, oh yeah, you dance as well.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've seen you dance, which is funny.
Well, no, because I was for my dance group for FFC is mostly or mainly their lead musician.
Oh, that's what it was, right? Mm-hmm. I forgot.
So
about
yeah,
that.
And like we, you know, we lacked in having guys as dancers. So wherever they need to put me, they'll put me.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind it, you know.
Yeah, you're multifaceted.
Yeah, it's part of the culture. So.
Thanks, man. So. We touched on it earlier, but if you can just like walk everyone through again, what are the best ways to get in contact with you?
Best ways, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, where all my music is. Snapchat, which is kind of big now.
Yep.
If you want to see me do my thing on the daily, and if you want to see catch up on my one loop a day. Challenge.
Yep.
It's all up on there.
Yeah, I check that out every day.
Yeah, and everything is the same. G Seropia.
That's really good that you were able to get
a
congruent username for all of them.
Yeah. I learned that from school. I went to school for independent music production.
Okay.
At Seneca at York in Toronto.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot from there. One of the things I learned for social media was to have a consistent username. Because if they can find you with one username here, they'll find you with that same username everywhere else. And, you know, no lines will get crossed, no links will get lost in the,
right.
And all the other links out there. So, yeah, and I kept it I didn't want to make it something like G Beats or G Music. Because, you know, it might not be beats and music down the road, but it's always going to be me, and it's always going to be something creative.
Right.
So I thought I'd keep it as just my name. And plus, you know, I want people to recognize my family, who I come from, and just have my name, you know, have my name rippled throughout the world.
Yeah. I see that happening. Mm-hmm. Well, we're witnessing it happen right now, actually, which is awesome. Can you share with us your favorite story or memory? Actually, yeah, your favorite memory.
Of
just your favorite memory, man.
That
could be anything.
Very general.
Yeah, it could be, you know, something really personal. It could be something like really business. It could be something recent or really far in the past.
Wow. To go through like 25 years of memories to. See, for me, it's really hard to pick favorites. Like with anything in general, it's like I usually I'm the kind of guy who's like top 5, top 3,
okay.
top 10. It's really tough.
Yeah, I put you on the spot for the top one. You know, how about the first one that comes to your mind?
First one, best memory that comes to mind. I'm trying to think of like a really standout moment.
What I'm looking for is like an exclusive story.
Something
that, you know, not many people know about you that you'd like to, you know, let them in on your inside world a little bit more.
Exclusive.
We can come back to it if you'd like.
Or if you could, like, because exclusive is kind of narrowing it down. Like, help me narrow it down a little bit more.
Yeah. Okay. Like, exclusive, maybe a funny story, something that. A story or a memory, rather, where, you know, you made a really important connection that you never really thought the connection was going to be there. And the connection could be like, you know, business or personal, or let's see, what else could we do here? Like a memory where, a memory of like your early days in music. Maybe your early and awkward days, if those ever existed, I don't know.
Okay. Music. Awkward early.
I'll share one, okay, if you want. When I first started with magic, I guess people, my parents will say when I was a kid, but I don't count that. So we'll go to like my very first official paid show. Mm-hmm. So when you get paid for something, technically you're a professional, yeah, right? This was 6 months into starting anything, any sort of good magic. Uh-huh. And I was in this garage. It was just a house Christmas party, really, really small. There's maybe 25 people or so. Uh-huh. And I just loaded my pockets up with different magic tricks, tons of different magic tricks. Mm-hmm. I had no real plan or anything. I kind of had a plan, I guess, of a flow of it all. But I ended up dropping a really important part of the trick. Uh-huh. And I think no one saw it. Either that, or they did see it, and
they didn't say nothing.
Exactly. And they just like, oh, that's a little bad. But what I did was, I didn't like turn my head and look at it right away. I let it stay there, and I put my foot on top of it, and then I like glued my feet there. I didn't move at all from there. So when I got someone to pick a card, I'd step forward with one foot, leaving my foot behind on the secret thing that I dropped. And yeah, afterwards, the guy who's really close to me, he definitely noticed, and he told me about it later, because I had to go down and tie my shoes, quote unquote, right, so I could reach under and pick it up. But yeah, it was the entire show I just kept on thinking of my right foot. There's something there, what do I do? Just like sweating as I go through everything. And it was hilarious looking back, because I was so unprepared. And I think it still worked out, but I still think that they all just were giving me pity.
Yeah. Well, no, and that, you know, those are the beginnings of learning to roll with the punches of performance. Like, you know, everything's not going to happen. You know, mics will cut out, things will drop.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to learn to try to see what you can do to work around the problems that come off the jump, so. Well, yeah, and then, yeah, okay, that's kind of giving me an idea of what I can speak on. You know, when I was younger, I was always an artsy guy, but more of a visual artist. Okay. So, you know, my whole plan was get into art school, become an artist. But what I didn't realize until later was that I always had an interest and like a fascination with music. So, you know, music never came out of nowhere for me. Music was always, it was always there, but it was kind of a little to the side.
Right.
Until art stepped back. And even between art and music, there was film. Like, I got into film for a bit, film and television.
Yeah.
I went to college for a year for that. But yeah, for me, music was always there. And, you know, I noticed it. Looking back on all my memories involving music, I kind of noticed that there was this thing about it that I loved. And the way I noticed it was, I have like a couple like tiny stories where, you know, music was always there. Like, I remember getting in trouble in kindergarten when the kids were singing, and I wasn't singing, but I was clicking my watch to the beat. And the teacher got mad. She's like, "What are you doing?" You know, that, like, she told me to cut it out. And when I was like 12 or 13, I would like open the CD player. We had a mixer at home. I would plug my like Sony Walkman into the mixer, open it, hold the button down so it would keep spinning, but it was still open. I would kind of like try to scratch on it, but it was a CD player, so it wouldn't work. And there's another time where like my best friend and I, we were playing with this toy. My best friend James. We were playing with this toy. that would like make sounds for every button that you press. It was like for letters or something, and we kind of like started making a beat out of it together.
Just out of
like the words and the letters that they were saying, like we spent like 10-15 minutes straight just like in like collaborating on this one tiny toy that wasn't even a music toy. You know, it was things like that. Yeah, it was things like that where music kind of poked its head out.
Right.
And then it was only until recently where I started, not recently, I started getting heavy into music 2009. So that's, for me, that's kind of where, yeah, that's where like, that's where music started for me.
Yeah. Well, that's when you kind of started.
Yeah, that's when you know, I saw this as a career path.
Yeah.
And I saw this where I can turn a hobby into more than just a hobby.
Right.
And now I'm trying to do as much as I can to get myself, you know, out of this realm and into the professional realm. But it's tough. It takes a lot of work.
Yeah. And you're up for the work, obviously.
Oh, yeah,
man.
Definitely.
Nice.
He's got to keep kicking doors till some stays open.
You know, I had an idea while you were talking about thing, when you're talking about the letters, right?
Yeah.
And you made beat out of that.
Uh-huh.
I think it would be really cool. Like, I know you're already doing a challenge right now, but I think it would be really cool to engage your audience and have your audience like give you or vote on, I don't know, even know what they'd vote on. Like, maybe they would vote on one of those toys where you press the letters, like, right? And you incorporate that into a beat, and then you have to roll with what they voted with.
Yeah.
You know, and then make it your own.
Uh-huh.
You could do that like your audience challenges you in a sense.
Yeah, and I like doing things like that even on the regs, like you know, with you gave me the witchcraft sample to work with, you know, like make a beat out of this for me to put in this video. You know, I took that as a challenge. It was tough, but I found a way to work around it.
Yeah. You made it awesome.
Yeah. It turned out really well. You know, I like challenging myself like that. Like, you know, there's times where I'm at home just chilling and I would freestyle by myself. But then I kind of get bored of it, so I'd start using like word generators to pop up random words and then try to rhyme with those words. Or a lot of the work that I've been doing lately is my friends would give me samples or give me sounds to work with, you know, based on what their preference is, and I kind of work my vision to build around theirs.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like doing challenges like that. You know, it's fun, and it's good to see the outcome of what you accomplish for certain obstacles that you're given.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For me, with a lot of my beats, or especially a lot of my beats that I let artists use, I'll put my audio tag in. And the audio tag is something that I got from the Fresh Prince. I was looking for something that says the name G in it. And I found one in the first season that says, there's two. It says, "Come on G, they waiting."
That's where it came from.
And then the second one says, "Come on G, kick it." So I like incorporating that into my song, just like how.
I was wondering where you got that. Or who you got to say that.
Yeah, just like how Just Blaze does it, or just like how Mike Will Made It does it.
Right.
I do that same thing.
Yeah. That's sweet. Okay. So Fresh Prince, that's awesome. It makes so much sense.
Yeah, I revealed that secret before because a lot of people were asking, and just like the hat, like a lot of people, when they see me and they hear my music, they'll say my audio tags to me all the time. Like, I'm glad that it sticks.
Yeah.
And it's
good
all,
branding.
Yeah, and it's all just everything is linking cognitively with in relation to the arrows, the audio tags, and myself.
Yeah. And I saw your Snapchat you packed all black, everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's your image, right?
Not really my image. It's just like sometimes when I go on trips, I'll just have certain, I'll have like clothing themes that I just like
doing
for
kicks. Okay.
Like for out here for the weekend, I have everything that I have is black.
Yeah.
When I went to Dominican, I had like all colorless button-up shirts.
Okay.
When I went to Japan, I had all pink shirts. Just something that I do.
Yeah.
I do that's a bunch it. Of weird
that's
shit.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't think it's weird. It shows your uniqueness. You're showing yourself, right?
Yeah.
In everything that you do. It's awesome. So, is there any piece of advice that you could share with me and with everybody that has helped you?
I have a wall in my room, like right beside my studio, where I have just a bunch of, not even quotes, like it could be quotes or messages that I write down just to inspire me and keep me moving.
Yeah.
One of them says, own it. And I learned that from talking to one of these big producers, Illmind. He's a Filipino producer from New York.
Okay.
He's been doing a lot of big things. He has beats on Drake's recent albums, J. Cole's recent albums, okay, among other things. Yeah, and I got to meet him recently, and one of the things that he said to me that stuck was, own it. And just whatever you do, do it and be dope at it. And just own it. And it stuck. Another lesson that I learned that I'm still doing is just use as much of your talent as you can. Like for me, I'm slowly breaking down the walls and showing people certain things that I could do. And that's just based off me, my introverted side, my side where, you know, I just don't want to show certain things because I'm not fully comfortable with it, or I'm just not ready to, like, I feel like I have to perfect everything before I show it
right
to the world. But, you know, there's some times where you just might, you know, you might let something peek a bit and it might catch somebody's attention. And then from there you can grow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you for sharing that. That'll be great. Mm-hmm. That's awesome, actually. That will be great. That already is great.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. To wrap things up here, we've touched on a lot of different subjects so mm-hmm. far. Is there anything maybe that you specifically wanted to talk about, you know, going into this?
What have we not talked about that's interesting? Like, what else do you want to know? Like, what certain things do you want to know from me in terms of either, like, musically, spiritually, or, like, just behind-the-scenes shit?
Let's talk about spiritually, actually. Okay. Yeah. explain a little bit about that area, about yourself.
Spiritually, I am a religious person.
Okay.
I'm not overly religious, but, you know, I do, you know, I'm Christian. I believe in God, Jesus, all that.
Right.
But I, you know, I also believe in other spiritual things outside of that. Not saying that one is entirely right, one is entirely wrong. It's just, you know, what I like to do is take lessons and aspects from different religions and different things, and just whatever applies to me, I'll stick with it. I learned recently, not recently, but last year, I learned Reiki.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. What Reiki is, for people who don't know, is spiritual healing or universal healing.
Right.
Oh, sorry, and Reiki, the word Reiki in Japanese means universal energy, Reiki.
Oh, interesting.
So okay. I learned that. And what that did for me, you know, it's not a religion-based thing. It's more of, it's an energy and spirituality-based thing. And it, you know, helps me, my Reiki master who taught me is, I spoke on him earlier, Pierce Cacalda. He taught me a lot, just how you can use this energy to as another driving force to help with your creativity, to help you emotionally, even physically. You know, it's been used before to cure disease. I use it personally to cure colds and coughs and stomach aches, things like that. Like I try to, you know, yeah, I try to use it.
It can be really powerful.
Yeah. And yeah, so I just, you know, I take what I can from everything that I learn and just apply it to myself.
And it helps. You take the strongest aspects that speak to you, and you you put that into yourself. There's a word I was trying to get to. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, you know, there's not one religion where everything is right, but there are some right things in most religions, or in a lot of religions. So, you know, it's just a matter of taking those good things and using it to benefit yourself.
Right.
Which is what I try my best to do.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, man. And thank you so much for coming out on the podcast, dude. This was awesome. Like, I had a lot of fun. Uh-huh. I learned a lot about you, and I learned a lot of lessons that I'm going to be able to apply to my own life and career. And everyone that listens, they're going to learn a lot as well alongside this. So that's great. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah.
This means a lot. And yeah, everyone, please check out G and all of his music, everything that he's doing. Follow him everywhere, and, you know, reach out to him too. Let them know that Hadland sent you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was such a fun episode for me. G has been a good friend of mine for many, many years. And for him to fly to Saskatoon for this podcast episode was just an amazing honor that he would grace me with his presence and do this, because I've always looked at him and his music so highly in my regard. Please take some time, check out his SoundCloud, and buy some of his music. You will love this music. I use it all the time, obviously, in the podcasts, and you're going to continue to hear his music in the podcasts. But now, please take some time. Send me a comment what you thought of this episode. Go to my website, leave a comment there, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever you want to do. My website, www.hadland.com. And this episode is /CMC12. Thank you very much once again, each and every one of my subscribers and everybody who is listening for the very first time. Please, again, subscribe, like, share this episode, and I will see you next week. And remember, always go out there every single day and work as hard as you possibly can towards your dream.
So it's like me out of the temple. Me finally breaking free from this, stuck in this box, like getting the demons out.
To the gritty shit.